Sunday, September 8th, is Rally Day, which is the start of our new year of Sunday school classes. Please be sure to join us in the educational building next Sunday for refreshments at 9 a.m. to acknowledge our new and previous teachers for their work here at Cook's during worship. So please enjoy and come next Sunday for Rally Day. Also, next Sunday after church, the youth will have a cookie baking event in the Fellowship Hall kitchen immediately following worship. The cookies are for the Kairos Prison Ministries and will be taken there later this month. We'll also be back on, this is going to be a full day in the kitchen, so next week, I'll be back doing our Cook's Cares cooking class. After getting over being sick, I'm back in the kitchen on September the 8th. I don't have an idea of what we'll be cooking, but it'll be something good and something inexpensive, I promise. All adults are invited to join us for our Bible school class every Sunday at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. If you haven't been, this is a really sweet time of fellowship and worship, and I really encourage you to come at 6. Today is the start of a brand new lesson, so if you've got any excuses that you think, oh, I can't catch up, no, that doesn't work. It's a new lesson. Come tonight and join us. Also, things are starting to kick back up. There are many events coming up, the Presbyterian Women events on September 7th and 10th, the community meal on the 12th, homecoming on September 22nd, the garage sale on the 5th, cereal box dominoes on the 29th. We've got all sorts of stuff coming up. The beautiful flowers in this morning are in loving memory of Russ and Alice Thompson, Russ and Alice Thompson and Kathy Thompson by their family. Those are the announcements. Before we go to our mission focus, is there any other announcement that needs to come before the church at this time?
Yes. You mentioned it, but I just want to remind the ladies, I hope that you can all come next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock and have coffee and donuts, and we can talk about the things that Presbyterian Women are going to do for this year, next year, and what kinds of mission projects we want to have. So hope to see you there. It won't last long, but it'll be over here in the Ed Building reception area. So look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Peter. Any other announcements? Okay, at this time, we'll turn it over to Gay List.
Good morning. I'm going to give the church choir a opportunity to kind of, if you can, get to a seat where you can watch the screen, because I'm not going to talk a whole lot this morning. Instead, I'm going to show you a film that I think you'll enjoy. But this is about Kajiado Children's Home and Hope for Kajiado. As you know, Hope for Kajiado was born out of this church. We started doing mission trips in 2010. This year's mission trip actually included 5 other churches, and we had 2 teams. We had 20 people go. So we'll start taking mission trip applications in November and plan our next mission trip probably in the spring or summer next year. So we'll kick off the video, and then I'll do a quick announcement.
Thank you.
Thank you. So as you can see, the mission team had a really good time. This was one of the teams, you got a glimpse of the new school. We dedicated the new school on June the 4th. The school is going to make a remarkable difference in the level of education that they get. Kajiada Children's Home is home to vulnerable children. This includes children who are abused, children whose parents are in prison, children who are orphaned, and they need our help. So I am so proud of this church's involvement in that. We're going to have a table outside. Dave and Petey and I will be answering any questions that you have. But we also want to let you know that one of the things that we will be doing, hopefully by October, the end of October, we'll have enough money raised for a commercial dryer for the home. We started out by needing a wash machine, and the church in Sarasota piped up and spent or donated what we needed for that wash machine. So now we're concentrating on the dryer. They are building a laundry room that will have the correct electricity, voltage, and everything in place. So we're really excited about this. They hand wash everything. So it's great for the kids to learn this as a life skill, but for the staff to wash all the sheets and the blankets and the heavier coats, this is really going to be a benefit to the home and save them a lot of time that they can spend with the kids. So we'll be talking about that outside, and if you have any questions, please feel free to visit our table. Thank you.
Carried out its mission Monday evening, and we dispersed $90. So thank you for your quarters.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The Lord is clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light with a garment.
From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, yet bends down to behold earth.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we gather in awe of your majesty and your grace. You are the creator of all that is seen and unseen, and yet you draw near to us through your Holy Spirit in love. We come with hearts open to your presence, seeking your spirit to fill us with peace, hope, and joy. As we lift our voices in praise, remind us of your faithfulness. As we listen to your word, transform our hearts. And as we go forth, may we reflect your light in a world that longs for your truth in the darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite now those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn.
How shall my tongue describe? matchless race of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, stronger like a mountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the slope of my transgression, singing, greater far than all my sin and shame, my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child.
Sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But it goes on to reform us that God, who is faithful and just, if we confess our sins, God will forget and forgive us of all our transgressions and cleanse us from any unrighteousness. So we confess our sin using the words in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we pray together, leaving time for silent personal confession of sin. Loving God, we confess that we have not followed your will. We have strayed in thought, word, and deed, and we have not loved others as you have called us to. Forgive us, cleanse our hearts, and help us to walk in your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I declare to you this great and wonderful truth, that by the waters of our baptism, we're assured the simple truth that our sins have been cleansed and we are now in full fellowship with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Let us affirm what we believe in song.
We believe.
seated, we'd like to ask the kids and youth to come forward for a time that's just for them. Hey. Well, it's good to see you guys. Everybody's gone back to school now, yeah? Well, I was never, as you could probably guess, I was never much of an athlete. But I did have, don't laugh too quick, right? gotta give me a little ego, right? No, I was clearly never an athlete. But I did pitch well for about a season or two. And I can remember two games. One was against the awful Orange Crush, who was my arch nemesis in the middle grades. They were always our opponents. We were the Wolf Pack, and they were the Orange Crush, and they crushed us quite a bit. But that particular game that I was getting ready for, I was pitching to the team, and the team, I was thinking about every pitch, man. I wanted to win so bad. I was really hyper-focused. And I pitched really well, and I remember the coach coming off the field telling me what a good job I had done and how good that felt. The next game, though, we were playing some team. They were light blue. I didn't think a whole lot of them. And I just didn't have my mental focus. I wasn't there. I was somewhat right, but I wasn't all the way right when I was ready to pitch. And so you know what I did with the first ball that I threw? This is no kidding, and probably a league legend still in that league. My first pitch, I threw it over the backstop. Now, this was a really high backstop, and I was really trying to throw a split-fingered fastball, but let's just say it got away from me, and it sailed over the thing, right? It was really embarrassing, and I think a lot of people kind of laughed at me. I survived. But what I want to talk to you about, today we're going to get into an episode where Paul meets a group of Christians who has it most somewhat right. But they're not all the way right, and he takes the time to tell them and show them the right way to believe and to understand their salvation. What I want to talk to you about is how you can do two levels of effort. Sometimes you can bring your A-level effort, and sometimes you can bring your kind of, I'm just trying to get through it. Well, when it comes to school and with other things in life, the best that you can do all the time is where you need to be. And so what I'm encouraging you all to do this school year is it relates to your teaching and in your friendship relationships is to always be on your A game and to always do things the right way, the way that you know the Lord wants you to. All right? Let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you. And thank you for allowing us to bring our A game. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. Thank you. God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us come together now in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that in the reading of your word and its proclamation, that you would awaken within us the desire to know you more deeply, to trust you more fulsomely, and to follow you more completely. Prepare us by the word and power of your Holy Spirit to soften our hearts, to change us, to transform us into the new creation that you make us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Prepare us now for this reading and proclaiming of God's word. In Christ's name, amen.
Morning.
Morning.
Got your A game? Are you concentrating? Let's concentrate on this. The Old Testament verse today is Psalm 14. It is in your Pew Bible on page 538 and on the screen. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They are all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I conclude my summer-long sermon series on Acts, and I end it as Paul gets to Ephesus. which is an interesting occasion. Ephesus was a big city at the time, filled with silver merchants, largely dedicated to the Temple of Artemis. And his bringing of the word into this area causes both joy in some quarters and real revolt in others. But I thought it was a fitting end to end this series on Acts, because it is the beginning of Paul's third missionary journey. This is, as we've talked throughout our study on Acts, that Acts telescopes time, so it's hard unless we're really reading closely to see just how many years are involved. But this final leg is going to take him is going to see him arrive in Rome. And then we get the fulfillment of what Jesus talked about in the very beginning of Acts of the Apostles, as he tells them that they were going to be his witnesses throughout Judea, through Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Paul is going to take the gospel to Rome now, largely under captivity, as the book of Acts will reveal. But before we get to that, let's greet Paul as he reaches Ephesus, reading today Acts 19, verses 1 through 10. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the island country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I can remember years ago, doing some reading in Augustine, and I was reading, he got to the point, St. Augustine did, where he had somebody that was recording what he wrote so that it would be saved for posterity. And I was reading one of his Sunday sermons, and it was really interesting to think about it, because he was actually complaining a little bit. You see, that particular time of the year were where the gladiatorial games were, where he was from. And the church audience, which you could imagine had been relatively robust up until the games, kind of diminished as the games came to town. And it was Augustine lamenting the fact that some people only get things partially right. You know, I think we see that sometimes in the church, that there's a group of people that get things partially right a lot. You know, again, I can't help but remember my time at Myers Park Presbyterian Church. And as I was there, you know, we typically through the year had 2 Sunday morning worships. That was all we needed at the time to meet the needs of the members. But on Christmas Eve, we did 8 services. It was like a production, really. Get done with one, get your notes for the next, and move on. And the place was packed. It was packed with a lot of people that we joked around with about and called them. We didn't. Some other people did. I didn't. Maybe I did once or twice. Called them CEOs, which stood for Christmas and Easter only Christians. We thought that was pretty funny. Although, as I say it, very judgy and not where I should be. So keep that in mind. Anyway, what that shows is that sometimes there are people that are traveling that get it kind of sort of. And that's kind of what Paul encounters as he gets to the Christians at Ephesus. Did you notice that he asked very deliberately, into whose baptism were they brought? That's a really important question, because the assumption at this point, remember, Acts has been going on and Paul has been ministering now for years. so that this Holy Spirit that he's speaking of wouldn't have been entirely unknown in communities. But this was a Christian community that was baptized prior to Christ's resurrection, perhaps. But what they were was they were following John's baptism. Well, John's baptism was from repentance from sin, which is good, but it was not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hadn't been sent yet. And so that baptism was insufficient and incomplete. And in a way, if we want to think about it, that meant that the people kind of got it mostly correct, but not entirely. And that entirely makes a big difference. I can't help but be affected by the movies I saw as a young adult. And one of them made a very profound impression on me, and I think it may have made an equal number of impressions on y'all. It was the movie Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park was really fascinating because, if you remember the story, there was a group of scientists who really believed that they could reanimate dinosaurs and keep them enclosed in a safe and controlled environment. They got things mostly right. What the whole point of the movie is that chaos happens and that you can't account for everything, and thus they were arrogant and overshot their mark. They got it mostly correct, right? But bad things can happen when you just get things mostly correct. When you get things mostly correct, you can find heresies rise up in the church. You can find even a works-based righteousness begin to take heart and flourish, in which you're either doing the things that the church tells you or you're somehow astray and not then therefore part of the full fellowship. We see some really kind of nutty things that happen in churches sometimes when you don't have it fully right. You need to get things fully right. And that is exactly what Paul did when he got to Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, just in case you were wondering, is in modern-day Turkey, or as if I think we learned in the Olympics, they've changed their name. It's Turkeia now. So it's in Turkeia that Ephesus is. And as I said, Ephesus was a lot like Athens, which we talked about last week. Remember when we talked about Paul coming into Athens, how just the rank idolatry really hurt his soul. We talked about that last week, about how it kind of injured him in a way to see just the rank idolatry. Well, Ephesus wouldn't have been terribly different. And in fact, the Ephesians were dedicated to the cult of Diana or Artemis. And because of that, there were a lot of silversmiths in the city. And one of the things we'll see in Acts right after this is there's going to be a riot. You see, when the gospel gets in the way of business, sometimes business doesn't like it very much, and it sends things into upheaval. But Paul reaches Ephesus. He finds a group of believers that's got it sort of right. And so I can't help but ask the question, sometimes do we get it sort of right and not entirely all the way correct? And that's one of the things that Paul has been insistent, Paul and Peter and Stephen, as we've read these impassioned sermons from Acts, what we've seen time and time again is a return to the very basic message of the Christian faith. This isn't highfalutin theology of John Calvin or Karl Barth. This is the ground level belief that Jesus Christ has died and risen from the dead. This is a simple belief that though we were yet sinners, Christ died for the righteous. Remember, what we believe is that our sinfulness prevents us from achieving our goal. Our goal is to live eternally in the kingdom of God. And it's our sin that gets in the way of that. And what God has done in Jesus Christ is atone for our sin perfectly, completely, 100%, and without any extra work of our own. And Jesus Christ has died for us and risen to new life. It means, as I said in the last couple of weeks, that whatever you've got in your junk column, you know what I'm talking about, that category in your life where the pieces don't quite fit, and maybe there's some sharp and jagged pieces from difficult times of life. No matter what's in that file, no matter what's in that box, the good news is that God has forgiven it. I will remember their sins no more. That's what God says to the people in Jeremiah 31. And we adopt and believe that to be true in our Christian walks as well. That God in his infinite grace and his infinite love has chosen to overlook those rough and withered spots of our past. And instead chosen to give us freely, access into the kingdom of God, where we will dwell richly forever and ever and ever. But we must have that Holy Spirit. It isn't just belief that saves us. It's our faith, and our faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can kind of sort of believe in God, or you can believe in the real package. Remember, there's some verses here to listen to. James 2, 19 and 20. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But then comes the more difficult one from Matthew 7. Jesus says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That is the good news, is that God has done for us what we could not have done for ourselves, and that he has then fused into us the Holy Spirit, giving us new life. Don't miss that. That the Christian message isn't one of sitting solely and dealing with this life as though it were a veil of tears. No, the Christian message is that God is triumphant. That somehow, some way, God is victorious over this world darkened by sin. He's victorious through the work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're guaranteed a spot in heaven. Heaven is where we're going. And that's why we must believe. And that's why we must have the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like to have the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be changed, to find new life? Well, it means finding the truth in the fact that we are in part of a new covenant, a covenant not etched upon tablets of stone, but instead written upon the very contours of our hearts. The very truth of the matter is that God is closer to us, more entwined into our very being than our very next breath. God is that close to us, that imminent, that real. And that God is calling to us, telling us to let go of our sinfulness, to fall back into his gracious and everlasting arms, and to dwell there richly for all of our days. And when that happens, friends, your character changes. Galatians tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." When the Holy Spirit is in you, you will live life maximally. Remember the promise of John in John chapter 10:10 is that you will have life and have it abundantly. It isn't the case that we lock ourselves in our rooms and pray and just cry. We are instead called out into the world to exemplify these changes that have happened. Once we were old and forgotten and no longer functioning, but now we're new life in Jesus Christ. I'll never forget a young woman that I met early in ministry. Her name was Patty, is Patty. She's still alive. But Patty was a trained OR nurse. And that she thrived on the excitement and the high-level energy that an operating room theater took. But it was unfortunate that over time, she developed MS and had to come away from those duties. And she was really, for a time, very lost, very depressed. You can only imagine your whole energy has gone into forming a career, and now that career is going away from you. And she was lost for a period of time, but found by the Holy Spirit of God. She came in one day to my office, just a smile on her face like you wouldn't believe. She had realized that what God was doing was something special in her life, and though she didn't like one element of it, that she would, in fact, do better, she thought, being a nurse working with MS patients. And that's what she's done. She's taken on a ministry of working with other people with MS as part of her mission to the world. And she continues to share the good news even now with people who are finding out that they've got this diagnosis of MS, which you can only imagine would be mighty scary for a number of people. So when the Holy Spirit comes, you see a change of character. You also see a desire for God's word and prayer emerge. This is the heart and soul of, I think, how God changes us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he brings us to new life, and then he calls us into a process known as sanctification. The goal is to make us more and more holy over time, not so that we can be sticks in the mud, but rather so that we can enjoy and appreciate life at a level that will be resonant to others. You see, we're the light of the world. We're the city on the hill that can't be hidden. We're the people whose joy is supposed to be so infectious that others want to come and join. That's who we are as people of the Holy Spirit. And finally, when the Holy Spirit comes, there is the conviction of sin, personal sin, and repentance from it. And again, during the course of Kairos, our prison ministry that we go into the prison and do for a weekend twice a year, one of the things that we do every time is we write individual letters to every one of the guys, encouraging letters. And we have other people outside write those letters as well. And then at a particular time in the weekend, we come forward with those, and it is an amazing experience. And one of the things that I'll never forget was a young man in this moment really breaking down. And we have areas where, as a chaplain, I was able to go and be with him one-on-one. And I'll never forget just the tears that were coming down his face. And he'd gotten it, that God really did forgive him. It wasn't just an abstraction, it just wasn't theology, that God had truly and completely forgiven him. And the tears just came. It was just such an overwhelming experience. And then the final sign is what I saw happen in that young man's life. That young man, still incarcerated, is now the inside director for Kairos. And so the young man who started out so broken is now in a part and a place of a healing ministry there in the prison for himself. That's how you know the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and in your life, in that you are sharing the message. You are no longer simply just hearing it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we seek to pray for those who are struggling or suffering. We pray for those who've been affected by grief or sorrow, and we pray for all of those who are struggling with health or issues otherwise. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father God, we just come before you this day grateful. Grateful that you've chosen to share with us the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Grateful that you've transformed our lives from old and desiccated into new and vibrant. Grateful that you have shared with us your Holy Spirit so that we might participate in this, your ministry of light into a world grown dark with sin. Father God, we pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. We pray believing that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond. And so we pray for Charlie McCreary and Ronnie and Ellen. And we pray for Sharon Gilmore and Nancy Smith. We pray for all of those who are in need of our intercessory prayers, all that we prayed for in our Sunday school this morning, all that we've prayed for in the coming week on the list of our prayer list. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, let's take a moment to reflect on the sermon and consider giving to Cook's Church. So get it all right. Give it your A effort all the time by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will find new life flowing into you. You will find yourself changing. You will find the people around you changing in response to the light that you're shining. Friends, don't forget, following worship, you've got a couple of things that you can do. One of the things is if you have a prayer request or you'd like someone to be in prayer for you today, please go to the back of the sanctuary. We have to the right or to the left in the center a prayer room where somebody will be waiting there for to pray with you, a couple. Also, take this time to enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Dwell richly and deeply with your brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoy some fellowship on the lawn. Get some time to know more about Caggiato. That's just such a powerful ministry that our church was part of starting, and they are doing so much good to the very ends of the earth. Now let us go in peace, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.